Welcome back to a new episode of Driving with Dad, a podcast that explores the road of fatherhood. I hope you enjoyed today's show, and if you do, please share with family and friends, and do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Driving with Dad, enjoy the ride. So this is called The Fan. The Fan. How do you spend fall Saturdays with your children? It probably depends on how old the kids are, where you live, and what the weather says. For most families, there's a youth sporting obligation on the calendar for 60 to 90 minutes. Perhaps you take the troops to the zoo or a neighborhood park. There are birthday parties pretty much every Saturday of the year. Maybe Susie has a play date at Pump It Up, or Johnny is headed to a friend's house. Some more adventurous families might go on an overnight camping trip. There are many options. But at the Friel house, we watch college football on Saturday. We watch lots and lots of football. We start as early as 7 a.m. with college game day. The early game kicks off at 9 a.m. It's usually a pretty boring Big Ten game with Indiana and Illinois. But we have it on in the background while we eat breakfast and read the paper. At some point, we do attend the weekly soccer game and then a quick stop at Five Guys or Chipotle before we head home for the afternoon slate of games. Does any of this sound familiar? Do you have a college or maybe an NFL team that you follow religiously? Maybe you prefer football and the Premier League. Have you unknowingly created a young lunatic or lunatics who get overly invested in random sporting events they have no control over? I am guilty on all counts. I've been an avid sports fan since I was about 10 years old and have shared this passion with my family and especially my son. And in that process, I'm afraid I have created yet another monster. First, it should be understood that the word fan derives from the word fanatical, which means zealous, extremist, militant, radical, diehard, intolerant, inflexible. These are not exactly the traits most parents want to instill in their children, unless you cheer for Al-Qaeda State or ISIS-U. There should be no illusion that sports fans are reasonable people. We are not. We scream, we yell, we jump up and down. And that's when our team is winning. Losing still involves screaming and a lot of yelling, but now add in some F-bombs, kicking things, and throwing objects. The perfect way to ruin a fall Saturday. And to be clear, there is a lot of losing. Even the best teams lose a lot. Last year, the best MLB team lost 58 games. The best NBA team loses at least 25 games each year. And regardless of the sport, any sport, there is only one champion at the end of the season. Only one. Only one fan base in each sport goes home happy. Everybody else loses at some point. And let's be clear, when your team loses, there is nowhere to hide. There you are, decked out in your team colors, at the game or at a bar or on the couch in your living room. It doesn't matter where you are because the final whistle is blown and your team lost. It is over. The anticipation, the excitement of long past. Reality has arrived. There is no more hope. Every key play is replayed in your mind and dissected, and any shortcoming is felt deeply. There is zero consolation that your team might have played well or come close. They, translation, you, lost. Period. Winning is all that matters. So knowing all this and being fully aware, why do I expose my children to the big-time sports? Why doesn't our family spend Saturday afternoons pursuing our kids' interests? Rarely do you see kids leaving the park unhappy. Kids don't leave the zoo in a deep rage. They generally don't throw stuff and yell profanities at the end of a birthday party. Camping in the great outdoors seems to be pretty enjoyable. There are definitely more civil activities to pursue with your kids than college or pro sports. And there is no playbook for raising a young sports fanatic. Nobody shares a roadmap to navigate the absurdity of getting your kid hooked on Buffaloes and Trojans. I had no idea that I was creating a monster. Young Frankenstein would be proud. Of course, it all starts out innocently enough when they're infants. I started buying college swag for my son when he was about 6 months old. He never had a chance. And as they grow up and start running around, there are many more options to clothe them in. I was thrilled to buy my 7-year-old daughter a USC Songgirl outfit. They are not cheerleaders at Southern California. And she looked fantastic. Suggesting she trick-or-treat in it on Halloween night was not my best moment. Oregon hosted SC that night, and the entire neighborhood was buzzing with excitement. We did some speed trick-or-treating so Dad could watch to the end of the first half. At the last house, a roughly 64-year-old man opened the door and sees my daughter in USC colors. He immediately slams the door in her face. He was joking and quickly opened the door offering candy. But it was too late, and it wasn't funny. My daughter was on the verge of tears, all because Dad wanting to flaunt his colors. She was an innocent pawn in Dad's grand Halloween scheme against the Ducks. Dad made it all about football, all about him. And it turns out Oregon rolled USC that night. I think Oregon won by 30. So Dad got a very well-deserved round of abuse from the neighborhood. And my 7-year-old song girl enjoyed her candy. We lived to see another day. But fast forward, and today you can buy anything, anything with your alma mater's logo on it. They have jerseys, t-shirts, hats, sweatshirts, jackets, pajamas, backpacks, golf balls, blankets, bedspreads, lamps, etc. I own custom barbecue tongs with the USC logo on them, just in case I forget which team I live or die for while barbecuing every Saturday. Meanwhile, I have very comfy slippers with buffaloes on them. The early years are the best. There's no doubt. There's not a better feeling than watching your little toddler run around in Dad's college team's gear. Really, it's a mini version of yourself that you are proudly brainwashing by age 2. Happily, the kids don't yet grasp the life and death importance of what Dad is watching. My son never saw the pain and agony that Dad was fighting to hold inside. Sports dads try our best to keep our emotions in check, but we never quite last an entire game. By the fourth quarter, bad shit has most likely occurred. Of course, Mom has already left for the mall with baby sister, and it's just me and my 5-year-old. Mom has seen the carnage many times before, and cruising around Nordstrom seems safer and more enjoyable. Dad is pacing the room, screaming at the TV, looking for something to kick or throw, someone to blame. This is all very normal behavior, right? And then slowly your kids grow and age, and maybe they're 7 or 8, and they begin to pay a little more attention. They invest more time watching and now can watch an entire half without wandering off to the Legos. I'll never forget when my daughter, and she might have been lower than 7 or 8. I think she was 6. And we're watching a game, and it's a field goal, like a makeable 30-yard field goal. And they hike the ball, and the guy misses the field goal and kind of shanked it, missed a little left. And my daughter doesn't miss a beat. Again, she's 6, maybe she's 7. And she's like, "Dad, that wasn't the kicker's fault. It was a bad snap." "What? Huh? Come again. Come again. My daughter suggested it was a bad snap is why the kick was missed." And again, those moments, that was 15 years ago. And I remember like it was 5 minutes ago. It was just awesome. My little turtle bug understood football at the age of 6. I mean, really, what more could a dad ask for? At the same point, my wife has been watching football for 20 years, and she loves football. I've got the greatest football wife ever, but the daughter at age 6 was more advanced than the wife at age 38 at the time. But anyways, the kids, they start to watch, they ask questions, they start learning the rules, and before long, they tag along with you to the actual games. They get to go to the tailgate, throw the ball around, eat junk food, and see Dad in his natural habitat. When Saturday morning finally arrives, Dad and his buddies are always happy and giddy with game day excitement. The kids enter the huge stadium and immediately feel the excitement, vibe, and energy of a huge football crowd. My kids are especially lucky because if they're going to one of my college teams, they get to either see a majestic, beautiful white horse run around the field before the game or a majestic buffalo, Ralphie, race around Folsom Field. Soon they hear the marching band's 3 songs. And really, that's all any marching band has is 3 songs. The main one, maybe 2 others. They're all kind of co-opted and there's, you know, maybe, you know, 1 or 2 songs that are individual and the rest are all, you know, same everywhere. Although, I can only remember what band, there was a marching band that recorded a song with Fleetwood Mac. Oh, that was the USC marching band, Tusk. Have you ever heard Tusk? Look it up. It's awesome. And the kids like Fleetwood Mac, so they like Tusk. They like the Trojans. Soon after the band plays, the kids get to learn all the silly hand gestures that crazy football fans come up with. The fight on, the little horn frog dealer, the zero that duck people seem to love. But, you know, there's so many little inside things to learn about football. So when you're at a game and the home team wins, it's exhilarating. All the effort spent planning which game, buying the tickets, driving if yours, walking through campus with your ankle biter, setting up, breaking down the tailgate is all well worth it. The 83 extra dollars you spent on last minute game day swag and beers now seems like a bargain. Everything is perfect. Kings are hanging out with dad and everyone is all smiles. What could be better for both dad and child? The simple answer is nothing. Nothing on this earth. Sharing the adrenaline rush and energy of a live event with thousands of similarly affected people is amazing. There's a sense of community and togetherness. And that's in a venue that holds 80,000 people. Of course, if you are on the road in a hostile territory, then the live experience is much more stressful. It was a night game in Corvallis. The good guys were ranked number 3 and favored by 19 points. This was a business trip. It was a 10-hour trip. Return home with a win. Zero reason to think the Trojans wouldn't cover, let alone lose. Period. My son was just 7 years old when the Beavers stunned the football world and ruined USC's season. My son's face told the story. He was crushed and on the verge of tears. It was so sad to see, and yet there was nothing I could do. This was 100% my fault. Well, maybe 70% my fault, and the rest on the stupid QB who threw the late pick. Damn it. There just isn't a way to prepare a son or daughter for the devastation of the huge favorite losing on the road. Losing just wasn't an option. It never crossed my mind they could lose. The final seconds ticked away slowly, and the pandemonium from Beaver Nation was everywhere. People were jumping up and down and going berserk, and it was so cool. They're fans. The Beaver fans were shocked as they were excited. Meanwhile, I still needed to exit the stadium with my devastated son and navigate a 20-minute walk of shame to the car. Most of the heckling was entirely reasonable, but a few jerks made my son even more distraught. And lastly, we still had to drive almost 2 hours home, getting home just before midnight. A 10-hour journey of hope and anticipation had ended in complete and utter disaster. And if you're really, really, and I mean really unlucky, there is even a worse way to lose a game. Your child might just get to see a last-second Hail Mary pass that sends your team to a crushing home defeat just seconds from winning the game. Stunned silence envelops the Coliseum. The home crowd files out slowly and quietly. Heads hang low. Nobody is talking. Picture thousands of people walking on a somber march to the gallows. Losing sucks. Losing feels like eternity. My 12-year-old literally didn't speak to me for an hour. Even the In-N-Out burger on the way home didn't put a dent in his sadness and depression. And some people might just say, oh, it's a game. Who cares? It's a game. No, it's not a game. It's everything. And either you get it or you don't get it, but it's everything. To my dearest Jared, I am so sorry to have taken you to these very tough losses and passing on this curse of sports fanaticism. It was never my master plan, but that's how it's unfolded. It is such a brutal endeavor to cheer for teams and universities when neither of us have any control or influence over the final result. And yet we invest so much time, energy, money, and passion watching, cheering, and otherwise losing our minds. The highs are so elusive and often anticlimactic, while the lows are more frequent, raw, and gut-wrenching. The losses take days to overcome. Why do we torture ourselves and keep showing up when we know that the pain of losing is possible and quite likely? We endure and fight on because we seek that high. We want that joy. We want the ecstasy. We feel when our team wins a close game, or even better yet, if they come from behind late in the game. The 2017 Rose Bowl is the perfect example of why my son and I love football and why we both love sports. Our beloved Trojans were trailing Penn State by 17 points entering the fourth quarter. 17 points is a lot, in case people don't understand the game of football. A lot. The Nittany Lions had scored on 7 straight possessions. Again, that's a lot. Trojans were getting rolled. My 17-year-old diehard son was ready to throw in the towel. Dad, why did we come to the Rose Bowl all the way from Portland? We are getting crushed. This is a disaster. Meanwhile, I meagerly pleaded with them. Have faith. Have faith, even as I knew SC was likely to lose with slim to zero chance of victory. And then slowly the game began to turn. A defensive stop, a long pass, and then a touchdown. The crowd begins to roar, and the good guys begin to fight back. And then with only 53 seconds to go, USC scores a TD on an amazing pass by Sam Darnold, an equally amazing catch by whoever that receiver was. And then the eternal, and I mean the eternal, wait for the extra point that would tie the game. And it's good. Through the uprights, the game is tied. And then on the very next drive, with just 37 seconds left, Penn State throws an interception. Thank you, God. The Trojans march 28 yards to attempt a game-winning 43-yard field goal as time expires. The Rose Bowl is rocking. You can't hear yourself think. 100,000 people watching a 19-year-old kid trying to kick a piece of leather through 2 goalposts in the distance. The kick is up, and it's good! USC wins. USC wins. Absolute delirium ensues. My son and I proceed to jump up and down, screaming, almost in tears, hugging each other and screaming like 2-year-old girls at a Build-A-Bear birthday party. Gigantic smiles engulf our faces, and we are both in a state of complete euphoria. The Trojans were the victors and the granddaddy of them all. Their comeback was our comeback. We won too. My son and I were winners together. It was an all-time amazing comeback and perhaps the best game I've ever witnessed in person. And I got to share it with my son. It's a day and game neither of us will ever forget. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why we cheer for our favorite team so passionately. Sports, and especially football, provide a generational connection between fathers and sons, grandfathers and granddaughters, long-lost cousins. And in these modern times, many moms like football too and share it with the kids as well. My wife loves college football and has helped make it a family affair. Saturday afternoons bring everyone together, united for the same pursuit of camaraderie and competition. Outsiders can say it's only a dumb football game, but to us true believers, it is something much more special. For many of us, there's a bond that gets formed at a very young age, and every September that bond is renewed and it grows. My football bond with my father started when I was maybe 10 years old. He worked a ton and we didn't get to spend much time together during the week or on Saturdays. Sunday was our day. We enjoyed many Sunday afternoons going to LA Rams games at the Coliseum. It was the best part of the week by far. It was just me and him for 5 to 6 hours, depending on Los Angeles traffic. Football was the event, but time together was the reward. I got to hang out with my dad. Some of the happiest moments of my childhood are going to NFL games with my father. So there it is. Sports. Kids. Fanaticism. Again, I don't know if I could have done it any differently. And it's funny because my dad was not. He had Rams tickets. He had Raiders tickets. It was more for client engagement. I went to a few games a year, but it wasn't. He was not a sports fan. He was not a sports nut. He never liked the Lakers. We maybe went to a few Dodger games, never went to a Kings game. And yet I grew up a fanatic. And maybe it's something, I don't know what it was, but I sought out sports and I love the LA Kings. My son now works for the LA Kings, which is the greatest thing on earth. He works in a sports field. He loves it. He's doing well. And it's just something, it's a bond we'll always share. We texted back and forth last night for over an hour watching the Kings beat the Edmonton Oilers. Woo! Go Kings, go. But it was the bond. It was like I was at a party I couldn't watch. My son was texting. He's like, hey, and he's called me to get home. It's the richest thing of all time. I love my son. He loves me. But the bond we share on stuff we can't control is crazy. It's super crazy. But it's all we have. We have much more than that. But at some level, it's the core of us that we just love chasing the dragon. And you're never going to catch up to the dragon, but that's okay. Thanks for listening to another episode of Driving with Dad, a podcast that explores the road of fatherhood. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, please share with friends and family. And please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Driving with Dad. Enjoy the ride.